Welcome to Needle Exchange, conversations on the art of thread. I'm Jamie Chalmers, aka Mr. X Stitch, and today I'm interviewing Jack Roberts, aka JP R Stitch. Jack is my first return guest, and in this first half of our conversation, we dive into his daily stitch practice and the journey that became his new book. Jack shares how committing to a few minutes of sewing every day transformed his art and his mindset, and why daily practice can be such a powerful tool for any creative discipline. We talk about the highs, we talk about the struggles, and we talk about the lessons he's learned along the way. Stick around, and if you enjoy this episode, share it with a friend who needs a creative boost. For more Jack action, in fact, you may choose to go to this episode first, you can go all the way back to Needle Exchange number 2, when he and I talked about his abstract machine embroideries and how all that came to be. Jack's a great guy. I like hanging out with him so much, I hang out with him again. I'm sure you'll enjoy the conversation, and I will be back next week with the second part of our chat. So until then, enjoy the show. Welcome back. You're my first return guest.
First return guest.
That's amazing.
Can you believe it?
No.
2 years later?
Yeah. How have you been?
Been good.
What have you been up to?
I've been spending my last 2 years sewing, which is delightful.
That's the dream, isn't it?
It is the dream. It's been great, because in so many ways nothing's changed, because I'm still just spending my time sewing calmly and enjoying the art I create. But then in so many other ways, so much more has changed, so much more has happened. Lots of exciting projects on the go. So
go on. Take it. Let's talk about the book. Let's do the book first, right? The book is your baby.
Okay. So I've just created a book. I say just. It's been going on for the last 18 months, but it's just happened. So part of my practice is I have, I use daily practice as a core of my artistic way of working. And daily practice is doing something every day, no matter how you feel, no matter what day it is, no matter whether it's your birthday, whether it's Christmas Day, you're doing something for your practice. So for the last 4 years, I've made every day. I've shared on Instagram every day without fail, and it's been a kind of core of my journey as an artist. And about 2 years ago, I started making a small stitching every day. And that came about because whilst I was creating some really large-scale pieces, that were taking about 3 months, I was feeling really bogged down with the end of the project feeling such a long way away, kind of the completion being a long way away. So although I was working on it every day, it felt like I was stuck in that kind of middle bit where it's I'm just kind of doing it and the exciting ideas are long gone, I'm fulfilling it, and the end goal where it's all exciting is a long way off. So I decided to do a small stitching every day, 10 by 15 centimetres. I started as pen and ink drawings that I did on holiday. And I started one each day, and I did them for about a month. And I thought, this could be a part of my practice, that actually each day I'm doing something that I start and finish. Which was really nice when I was in the middle of creating something big. So I never really started as a public part of my practice. It was just more as a kind of coping mechanism for myself, as just dealing with big projects and how to deal with it. So that started, and I started doing a stitching every day. They're all abstract. So my art is abstract, stitched, heavy machine embroidery, usually quite colourful. And I soon began to see that the stitchings changed each day. And I began to find that when I was calm, they were smooth. When I was slightly more anxious or stressed, they were a bit more spiky or a bit more all over the place. And they became a daily diary of how I was feeling and my mood. And I've kept them up. It'll be in October 25 is my 2 years of doing one every single day. Right. So it's quite a big thing. So last year, after I was coming up to the end of the first year of doing them, and it's like it'd be really nice to do something with them. I combine them into sculptural towers, but it'd be nice to do something to combine them all into one place, into a book. Great. Who wants a book of 365 stitching.
Yeah, abstract ones as well, isn't he? Yeah.
Abstract stitch drawings that reflect my mood for the past year. Who on earth is going to want that?
Sounds like an attractive offer.
Absolutely. It's going to be a bestseller,
isn't
it?
My mum's going to love this.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's like, okay, right, well, let's put that idea on pause. So I put the idea on pause for about 3 or 4 months. And then I thought, at the time, I had a few people getting in contact with me because I was talking about daily practice on social media and things like that, saying, how do you do it? How does daily practice work? What is it about? How do you keep doing it? And I think there's a degree of stubbornness involved that once you've started something, it's like, yes, I've said I'm going to do it. So I thought, well, actually, perhaps that's the point of the book, that it's not just a book about my art. It's a book about the idea of what daily practice is, and it's there to help people to create their own daily practice. So I listened to the last podcast we did, and it started with it was me talking in a really long-winded answer to quite a simple question. I was just embarked on the second podcast, exactly the same long-winded answer.
You're a dream guest.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll just talk, and you just sit and listen. It's great. Yeah. So the book then developed as a. From one side of the book, it's all about me. So there's an introduction to my practice, what I do, and why daily practice is important. And then there are 366 daily stitch drawings. It was a leap year, so that's why there's 366. But you turn the book over, and there's an introduction to what daily practice is, how to use daily practice within your life, and then a page a day for you to use to create your own daily practice. So I've left it quite open because it's not about somebody creating what I've done. It's not about somebody using the sewing machine to do a daily stitching to reflect their mood. Someone might want to start a writing practice. Someone might want to use it as a daily to-do list. Somebody might want to do it to write a piece of music on some staves that they draw on there every day. It might be that you go for a walk and you want to record something that you've seen on your walk every day to become more mindful. So it's about that the idea of using the book for daily practice, whatever your daily practice is. So if you're a knitter, it could be recording how many rows you've knitted. It could be if you're big into exercise, what exercise you've done that day and tracking your progression. But it's the idea of having a space that helps and guides you through your first year of a daily practice.
Yeah, cool.
So that's where it came from. That was the idea. And once I got the idea, it was like, okay, how do you make a book? I'm a textile artist. I don't know how to make a book. So it's been a really long-winded process of learning how to design a book, how books are put together, is it a stitched book? Is it a glued book? And all of these different technical things that have gone on. But actually, it's worked. I've enjoyed the process, and it's now complete. And it's a really chunky thing. And there's a lot of things in it that are. So the book is 10 by 15 centimeters. Every daily stitching that I done is 10 by 15 centimeters. So it kind of fits the whole, my stitchings and the premise of where I started and the idea are kind of built into the whole book, that the stitchings are put in order. So they run through day after day in the order I created them.
It's a good book, and it is, it's very tasty. It feels like quite classic. I like the form of it. It did occur to me that as someone that you know who produced a magazine for 7 years, including a hardcover of the magazine, I love that you didn't ask me a single question.
I didn't ask anyone.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very black ops.
It's been a very much a in my ivory tower finding out how to do it myself. But I think I think artists are like this quite often, that you've got a specific idea of, you know what this book's going to look like in some way before you've even done it. And it's like, then I spoke to so many book printing companies. It's like, well, we can't produce anything that thick. And it's like, okay, we can't produce anything that small. Right, okay, we don't stitch the books, we glue them. And it's like, well, I want them stitched because it's going to be used every day and it needs to be durable. And JPR stitch, not JPR glue. And it's kind of like, it just felt right that it was stitched. So it's been a kind of a real rather than trying to fit my ideas into what other people thought was possible and what companies could achieve for me, it's been a big task to find a company that could achieve what I wanted and help me to make it come into reality.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite interesting, isn't it? It's not, you're not going to, that's a bit like you though, isn't it? Kind of, you're not just going to go, oh, well, I'll adapt what I want to your needs. You will try and forge your own way through it.
Yeah.
Where did it get printed in the end then?
A company in down in Devon.
Right.
They were great, to be honest. They mainly print academic books, but they were really helpful because I've never, how do you export a PDF that's suitable to be printed as a book? I have no idea. Somebody who's produced a magazine
that's fine. It's not a sore point.
So yeah, it's been a real learning curve, and it's been received far better than I thought, because I was expecting that I'd produce this book, I'd put all this work into it, I'd photograph all of these stitching, I'd edit them all into a book, and then I'd send this book out into the world, and the world would just kind of, nobody would be interested in yes. But actually, I've been amazed how many people have bought a copy, been really enthusiastic about it, and it's been far better received than I thought, so, which is really nice.
Yeah, amazing. Right. I have many questions to ask. Are you ready?
Yep.
How do you do a daily practice?
How do you do a daily practice? I didn't realise I was doing one at first. I think that's one of the interesting things that I think we probably spoke about it in the first podcast of where it all came from, and I was academic and all of that. And I won't go into that now because you can listen to the previous podcast. But I wanted to focus more on my art. My art had always been in the background, but I could go 3-6 months without producing anything. And it was like, how am I going to make my art my priority? And I decided at the time, and that was probably 2021, I needed to sew every day. Even if I was just spending a couple of minutes, my sewing machine was always out, that I needed to just do a little bit of sewing every day. And then by doing something every day, I was connected to the practice. Even if a piece of art took 3 months to make, the fact that I was just doing a little bit on it every day meant that I was connected to it every day. I was thinking about it every day, and I was present with my practice every day. That's where it came from. A couple of months later, I thought, this was me before, when I was kind of still not sharing any of my art, I thought I need to find a way to share my art. It was like, okay, well, I'm sewing every day now. Perhaps I should use social media, and I wasn't really a social media person at the time, as a daily diary, and use it in the same way. Post every day about what I'm doing about my art on that day, or have been doing around about the time. So that's, it kind of started at like that. And with Instagram, I found Instagram hard, but I set myself a challenge of posting every day for 12 months, which I did. And after the 12 months, carried on. And it wasn't until I started the daily stitch drawings, which were probably 2 years into my practice, that I started them. And they started because I was on holiday. I hadn't got my sewing machine with me. And having had 2 years of sewing every day, I felt like I really missed it, which is so sad.
For it,
but yeah. I was really craving it. So what all I'd got with me was a 10 by 15 centimeter lined pad and a black pen. So I just doodled every day, a little doodle, which started the daily stitch practice. But at that point, I began to realize, actually, I've been doing daily practice for 2 years. I've been stitching every day for 2 years. I've been sharing on social media every day for 2 years. This was 2 years ago, so I've been doing it for nearly 4 or 5 years now. And I didn't realize the impact that daily practice had had. And by spending just 4 or 5 minutes a day as a minimum, some days I might sew all day, some days I might sew for an hour, but just spending a few minutes every day, it kept my art as a core part of my mind. It was always there. It wasn't pushed to the background. So I was always thinking about it. And that really helped to change my mindset so that my practice slowly and gradually over 12, 18 months became something that was in the background, that could easily get pushed and 6 months later I've not done anything, to something that was my priority and everything else in my life had to come secondary. Mm-hmm. Daily practice that was the process for that, but at the time I didn't realise what I'd done. It was just me thinking to myself, how do I do this, and choosing to, well, do something every day. And I thought, and it's been quite an interesting observation then to look back to think, well, how important daily practice has been for my achievements, that just a step forward every day on your practice over a few year period can achieve massive things, and that perhaps the book could be other people's way in to understanding, to forming their own daily practice, to make something that they want to do a priority in their life, whatever that is, whether that is kind of mindfulness, whether that's being more present, whether that's recording what they've done, whether it's recording their achievements, whether it's artistic, whether they want to become better at drawing, so they draw every day. So it's not about telling the person what their daily practice should be. That's up to you to know what your daily practice might be, and it's almost, what's your aspiration? What's your passion? What do you want? Where do you want your life to be in 5 years' time? And this is just a daily helper to help you make that a core part of your life.
Mm. Do you think there's a risk that the potential grandeur of the outcome might stop people in their tracks? Like, you know, getting started on something like that, like it feels like it would be quite easy to overthink it and therefore never really get going.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of daily practice, that you don't think about anything but today.
Mm.
It doesn't, and okay, the book is thick and can look quite daunting. I think I've got to do that every day for 12 months. But the point is that all you think about that day is spending 5 minutes on that one page.
Mm.
Not looking at the next page, not thinking about what the previous pages were, just spending 5 minutes on that page. And I'm quite clearly obsessive. And like Instagram, I've probably been posting on Instagram since September. I think it was the 3rd of September 2021 was the first day I posted. And I've posted every day since and not missed a day.
Mm.
That's quite obsessive, but it doesn't matter if you do miss a day with daily practice.
Mm.
Point is that it's not about the missed days. They're not important. It's about the 90%, 95% of the days that you're spending are moving towards your goals and ambitions. And the 1 or 2 days that you might miss are not that important.
Mm.
That it's not, daily practice isn't the key. The daily practice isn't the aspiration. Daily practice is just the tool to help you to build your aspiration into a real thing.
Mm.
That's all it is. So it shouldn't be seen as daily practice is a pressure. It's just a tool to help you build something into your life on a daily basis.
Right. Got another critical question here.
Okay.
You know, I love you. It can sound self-indulgent. Like, I remember seeing a video of someone who, like a YouTuber who was like, I get up at 6 a.m. and, you know, all of that stuff. I get up at 6 a.m, I do an ice bath, and then I meditate for 10 minutes. And then I go, I've got 2 children and a puppy, so you can write off. So how do you balance that? How do you balance, like, because you're in a position where you do have time.
Yeah, I do.
It's a real luxury.
It is a luxury, absolutely.
What do you think the top tips are for people whose lives are mental?
I think the top tip is pick the time that works for you. It might be daily practice, but it might not be every day.
Mm.
It might be a weekend practice.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a Thursday night practice, that every Thursday night you think, well, the kids are off swimming, so I've got half an hour where I'm free, and that's the time I'm going
to
do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think, because sometimes it occurred to me, like, we all manage to brush our teeth and stuff like that. We all manage to, sit down on the loo, spend 5 minutes. I mean, there probably are moments that you could carve out, isn't it? But,
and I think that's where I was. So I've been involved in the arts for 20 years. I've wanted to make art for a long time, but everything else took priority. And my art and my practice never did. Mm-hmm. And the point of the daily practice is just trying to shift that mindset. So the things that you want to take priority, take priority. And obviously, have the luxury as a full-time artist to spend my time making my art. So finding 5 minutes a day, every day, to spend on my art is a real luxury.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean that daily practice can't fit into your schedule somehow. And I, in the book, I've said think of it as kind of like daily practice plus or minus 2 or 3 days.
Right.
So you might think, actually, I know I'm going to be busy tomorrow, so I might do 2 things today if I'm a bit more free. Or you might miss a day, or you might miss a couple of days. Or if you're going on holiday, you might miss the week. You might not want to take it on holiday.
Mm.
So it's just finding something that fits into your life, but it's trying to do it in a way, trying to build your priorities, trying to make them a core part of your life rather than making them as wishes and ambitions that never get achieved. And like you say, you always find time to spend 5 minutes to brush your teeth and things like that, that most people can find a few minutes, a couple of days a week to do something.
Yeah. And maybe don't hoist yourself. Don't have too grand an ambition. It's making me think, right? Like 2 years ago, I decided to start going and doing this boot camp thing that was at 6:30 on a Monday morning.
Mm.
And somehow I've managed to stick at it because it works out that period of time, as horrible as it is to get up at 5:30 in the morning, that period of time does work. I get endorphins, I can handle my children in the morning. But now it's got to the point where then I was like, I'm doing it on Mondays. And then I was like, oh, there's a session on a Wednesday. So then I started doing it twice a week. And I found, I was like, okay, I haven't spontaneously combusted and I haven't like had a nervous breakdown. And touch wood.
Towards a bigger goal.
You do like bit by bit. And I think it is that. So one thing I've learned from an exercise standpoint, and I always worry whenever I talk about exercise, that usually is the end of the exercise. So I'm worried that that's going to happen now.
Never.
But one of the things is like you get this combination of something that you enjoy, something that's convenient, and maybe something that, like in my case, it's like I don't want to let people down. I quite like the people that I do it with, so I don't want to like let them down by not turning up as if they care. But that little trifecta,
it works.
Yeah,
and it's finding something that works for you. I've had the when I gradually began to realize that I was using daily practice. I tried to do it in different things. I did it for yoga, and I did 90 days of doing some yoga every day, and it became such a chore, and I absolutely hated it. And I stopped, and I probably haven't done any yoga for about 18 months.
Right,
so. It doesn't work for everything all the time. And I think for me, it's like, why was I doing yoga? I was doing yoga to help with my breathing because I'm asthmatic, to become more supple and things like that. That sitting hunched over a sewing machine all day, you end up with a bit of an achy back. So doing a bit of yoga to stretch was good. But so I wasn't doing daily practice of yoga because I enjoyed yoga. And because I thought yoga as part of my life would be good for me. I was doing it to solve a problem of an achy back. So I wasn't really committed to the idea of it. So then it became a chore and it soon fizzled out.
Mm.
Whereas sewing, I know that sewing makes my life better. I know that after I've spent some time sewing, I'm calmer, I'm more relaxed. I feel like I'm a better person having sewn, which might sound ridiculous, but so that I feel that actually sewing every day makes my life better and makes me a better person, even if as an artist there's no success or outcomes or anything happening, I know that sewing every day helps me to be a better me. So then actually doing it every day, I know that it's good for me. I want to do it. And daily practice is just there as a way to help me to do it.
So it doesn't really matter what the practice is. I'm just trying to think for people who might like start something. Like you said, you start something and you're like, this is great. And then you're like, actually, this isn't so great.
It doesn't work for you. And you might think, well, I'll have a break for a few months and try something else.
Do you think there's something, though, about a willingness to perhaps maintain a regular practice, but also a willingness to adapt? So if it changed, like say for instance with your book, right? One of the things it made me think of, we went to this festival that I told you about before we were recording, And it was super stressful. But there was this stand that were like, here's how to make a little book out of like four sheets of sugar paper with a stick, did it. I started using that as a little journal, and I was just like making these random things. So not, can't draw for toffee, but I'm all right with like letters and stuff. So I was just like putting down these different thoughts that occurred to me, like the number of kids called Flora that we met. We did a little tally of that, and the number of cartwheels that Annie had done. It was almost like an infographic. And then it was also like me writing down, oh, do you just have to surrender to things? And yes, you can have churros for the fifth time today or whatever. And just having it as like a microcosm. But I found that that for me was quite a good way of processing things. So, you know, if I was using your book, my inclination would be to do like, what sound effect is the one that best reflects the day? And like a reflective journal, because that's kind of what works for me. But then I might do that for a while, but then it will turn out actually perhaps what color of watercolor that I've got kicking around is, you know. And I think that's perhaps the thing I'm trying to work out is, it's okay, isn't it? It's okay if you start with one form of regular practice, but if that doesn't fit you, because the exploration's part of it, right?
Absolutely. And I suppose I've kind of been doing that myself for a while, and I've stitched and done embroidery for years and years and years. Started probably when I was a teenager, and done textiles and knitting before that. But then I've done so many other things within art, and I knew that art was what I wanted to do. But it wasn't until that I focused that actually embroidery is me. It took lots of other trial and error to work out what felt right. And that's the kind of thing with daily practice. There might be a little bit of trial and error to find what's right, but it's almost like it's a way to help people. So if you're an aspiring writer and it's thinking like, I want to write a book, but I don't know where to start, or just writing something from your day on a side of a small piece of paper every day, you start to build a writing habit. You start to build an understanding of what your feel of how you write, what you observe, and within no time, you've built a writing habit. So then writing a book becomes more achievable because you're writing 100 words every day. And if you do 100 words every day, within no time, you've got lots of words to then edit into a book, even if it's lots of poems or things like that. So it's just help. It's all it is a tool, and it won't work for some people. It will work for others. And it's worked for me. And rather than the book being a diary of my stitched emotions for 12 months, it's a diary of my stitchings, but also a place for other people to use it however they wish. And I hope that my stitchings in there are some encouragement that, yes, someone else has done this daily practice. And if I'd have stopped after 3 months, I wouldn't have got 12 months. I wouldn't have got 2 years. I wouldn't have created sculptures out of them. I wouldn't have created a book out of them. I wouldn't have created limited edition prints out of them. That actually, that those five minutes every day then create something so much bigger when they are all combined.
Just out of interest, because it occurs to me, if people want to get a copy of your book or any of the aforementioned products, where can they best go?
Best place is my website. It's a self-published book available through my website, jprstitch.com.
Very good. Tell him Mr. X did send you and he'll go, who? Sometimes, like, because there's an interesting thing of you've been putting things out on Instagram, and in some ways that public accountability works for some people. But then it also feels like the flip of that is sometimes daily gratitude journaling can be a little bit too noble for some people as well, isn't it? And it's like, I'm interested in that, like how you negotiate that. What I don't know quite what I'm trying to say, but I think sometimes it's like there's something about surrendering to tuning in to what makes you most comfortable. So for you, I think the presentation of your work to other people is part of the process. And we talked about that before. Because you've iterated, haven't you? You've been able to make it so it's quite easy for you to record your stuff and produce your stuff and all that. And I guess that's been part of the evolution of the daily practice as well. But then I'm also cognizant, great word, about the fact that you produced that entire book and nobody knew about it. So you haven't been showing off about that. So that's been like a quiet practice.
Yes.
What's your take on all of that?
It's an interesting observation because there are a number of quiet practices. So for the last few months, I've been, so all of my art is presented on black stained boards that are slightly bigger than the stitchings. And I've been staining hundreds of boards, varnishing them, sanding them, and it's taken months of work that I've been doing a bit of on
daily varnish practice.
Daily varnish practice. I've shared it occasionally, but I've not really shared it that much. But I think there's something about what my practice is, and then something about there's a layer of administration underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's my practice, which is my sewing, which is my art, my expression. And then sometimes there's a layer of admin that needs to go underneath it to ensure that happens. So my stitchings for me aren't complete until they are stretched tightly, mounted onto a black board and presented very crisply. I don't see mounting my art as part of my creative practice. I like to do it all myself because I'm a control freak. Because I know what how I want it to look, and I want to control that process. But I don't see the mounting process as part of the artistic output, but it's just something that needs to be done. In the same way as the book, I see the daily stitchings as an artistic process, as something I do every day, and therefore are something for me to share because I share my artistic process. The journey of designing a book, working out layout, working out the page format, writing, editing, photographing all the stitchings, putting them into a book, learning how to use the software, is almost a layer of administration that enables me to deliver the creative act. So there's the daily stitchings are a creative act. The final book is a creative act, but there's a layer of process underneath it that I don't particularly see as creative, but essential to ensure the creative act happens.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then for me, that becomes quite clear of what do I share.
Mm-hmm.
So is me marking out where screws go on the back of a board so that I can hang them on the wall in the right position a creative act? Not particularly. It's almost process and admin that has to go on behind the scenes. So that's not something I'd share. It's something I do, but it's not something I'd share. Equally, and it's the same with a lot of things. Web design. Do I want a website? Of course I want a website. Do I want the website to be an archive of all my stitchings? Of course I do. Building a website was a big job. But that's not a creative act, but it enables me to share my creativity in a way that I want to. That seems quite a funny way of describing it.
Yeah, but I get it. Yeah, I think I'm just trying to think about, like, again, do you know what? I think what I'm trying to do or what I'm going through is, like, I'm trying to maybe qualify it with myself.
Yeah.
Like, I struggle with people who, like to be seen to be doing things, or, you know, like virtue signaling, that sort of thing. I can't stand that because it's so inauthentic. And it's that thing of, like, there's something about doing a daily practice that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
That has a certain beauty about it because that is your, it's just for you. You're not doing it to prove anything to anybody else.
Yeah.
And I think but then at the same time, I recognize for some people, the virtue signaling is what it's going to take.
It is, and it's a tricky one that as an artist, and I think we probably spoke about this on the podcast last time, that for years I made art and never shared it with anyone. And was I creatively satisfied? Probably. The art that I was making at the time was very deep and very complicated and very stressful, but not what I'm doing at the minute. But was I creatively satisfied? Yes. Did anyone know about it? No. What's my ambition? Is it to just make? or is it to be make and to be recognized as an artist? And it's to be make, it's to make and to be recognized as an artist. So for me to make and not share, I'm achieving the one goal of art being a part of my life and enriching me as a person and satisfying me as a person, but I'm not achieving the goal as being recognized as an artist. And of course, there's a degree of vanity there because you're publicly sharing your stuff and you're wanting recognition. So of course there's vanity, but that's life and part of it, isn't it? I suppose that you do get some artists who hide away, paint for years, no one ever sees anything that they're doing, and then when they're dead you find this enormous archive of what they've done and think, oh my God, why did we not know about them? But then you get other artists who make and publicly share their work throughout their career, and their public recognition runs alongside their production. So there's two things that go on for me as an artist. There is the making, which is for me, but then there's also needs to be some way of disseminating my art to an audience. And that's lots of different ways. And obviously the book is one way. The book, the podcast, things like this is another way. Exhibitions, of course, is another way. But a lot of those things are things that don't happen very often.